Fogg claimed to be breaking the casino when they met for a quick sandwich. Ray was down $100, but like all gamblers, lied and said he was up slightly. They agreed to leave at 5 p.m. and fly back to Charlottesville. The last of Ray's cash was converted to chips at a $50 table in Canyon Casino, the newest of those on the boardwalk. He played for a while but soon grew tired of cards and went to the sports bar, where he sipped a soda and watched boxing from Vegas. The $5,000 he brought to Atlantic City had been thoroughly flushed through the system. He would leave with $4,700 and a wide trail. He had been filmed and photographed in 7 casinos. At 2 of them, he had filled in paperwork when cashing in chips at the cashier's windows. At 2 others, he had used his credit cards to make small withdrawals, just to leave more evidence behind. If the judge's cash was traceable, then they would know who he was and where to find him. Fogg was quiet as they rode back to the airport. His luck had turned south during the afternoon. "Lost a couple hundred," he finally admitted, but his demeanor suggested he had lost much more. "You?" he asked.
"I had a good afternoon," Ray said. "Won enough to pay for the charter."
"That's not bad."
"Don't suppose I could pay for it in cash, could I?"
"Cash is still legal," Fogg said, perking up a bit.
"Then cash it is."
During the pre-flight, Fogg asked if Ray wanted to fly in the left seat. "We'll call it a lesson," he said. The prospect of a cash transaction had raised his spirits. Behind 2 commuter flights, Ray taxied the Bonanza into position and waited for traffic to clear. Under the close eye of Fogg, he began the takeoff roll, accelerated to 70 miles per hour, then lifted smoothly into the air. The turbocharged engine seemed twice as powerful as the Cessna's. They climbed with little effort to 7,500 feet and were soon on top of the world. Dick Docker was napping in the cockpit when Ray and Fogg walked in to log the trip and turn in headsets. He jumped to attention and made his way to the counter.
"Didn't expect you back so soon," he mumbled half asleep as he pulled paperwork from a drawer.
"We broke the casino," Ray said.
Fogg had disappeared down into the study room of the flight school.
"Gee, I never heard that before."
Ray was flipping through the logbook.
"You paying now?" Dick asked, scribbling numbers.
"Yes, and I want the cash discount."
"Didn't know we had one."
"You do now.
It's 10%.
"We can do that."
"Yep, it's the old cash discount."
He figured again, then said,
"Total's $1,320.
Ray was counting money from his wad of bills.
"I don't carry 20s. Here's 13.
As Dick was recounting the money, he said,
"Some guy came poking around today, said he wanted to take lessons, and somehow your name came up."
"Who was he?"
"Never saw him before."
"Why was my name used?"
"It was kind of weird. I was giving him the spiel about cost and such, and out of the blue he asked if you owned an airplane. Said he knew you from someplace."
Ray had both hands on the counter.
"Did you get his name?"
"I asked. Doff something or other. Wasn't real clear. Started acting suspicious and finally left. I watched him. He stopped by your car in the parking lot, walked around it like he might break in or something. Then left. You know a Doff?"
"I've never known a Doff."
"Me neither. I've never heard of a Doff. Like I said, it was weird."
"What'd he look like?"
50-ish, small, thin, head full of gray hair, slicked back, dark eyes like a Greek or something. Used car salesman type. Pointed toe boots."
Ray was shaking his head. "Not a clue."
"Why didn't you just shoot him?" Ray asked.
"Thought he was a customer."
"Since when are you nice to your customers?"
"You buying the Bonanza?"
"Nope.
Just dreaming."
Fogg was back and they congratulated each other on a wonderful trip, promised to do it again, the usual. Driving away, Ray watched every car and every turn. They were following him.